Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thanks for being with us today. We've enjoyed your company. If you want to get a hold of us, it's question and answer time. You can certainly do that a couple of ways. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Lock that in your phone or your computer, your email, so you have that available. Or you can give us a ring-a-ding-ding on your mobile device at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Had a number of questions come in this week, Holly. We'll see what we can get through to the top of the hour. First question is, how to get grubs out of my garden? They are living under straw bales, and I believe skunks are digging them up under the bale, and they are even digging them out of some plants under the ground of the plants. Thanks, Tim from South Dakota. Any advice that we can offer Tim on that one?
Yeah, so you can hand remove them.
I know. I don't know if the grubs are the bigger of the two issues, the skunk versus the grubs.
Skunks are eating the grubs.
I know, but the skunks, if you walk up to a skunk, it's not going to say hi. It's going to let loose and
It's not like a perfumey cat.
No. Not like Pepe the Pew or whatever that one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, so you can remove them by hand, which at this point, I think it sounds like that he's past that point.
Yeah.
You can use beneficial nematodes, and there's plenty of information on how to do that online. Otherwise, Phylum, our sponsor, has a grub gone granular.
Yes.
And it's safe to use around the garden, around kids, pets. And then it gets rid of the all different levels of grubs.
There's different stages of the grub.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is one. And a lot of these reviews mention skunks.
Uh-huh.
I guess this is a problem. And it gets rid of the grubs to get rid of the skunks.
Yeah, you get rid of one and you get rid of the other.
What came first, the grubs or the skunks?
Right. So yeah. That's Phylum Bioproducts. That's Phylum Bioproducts.com. And they have a number of environmentally friendly ways to control Japanese beetles and grubs and everything in between there. All right, Holly, next question here. How is the best way to know when my leek flower seeds are ready to harvest?
They would have to be fully dry or nearly dry. So what you'll do is you'll see the flowers come, and then they'll kind of die. They'll kind of not be as peppy looking. And then you can take one off the stem or take a little portion of the flower. I don't know what it's called, like a little chunk of the flower.
Yeah, and squeeze it.
And then squeeze it, and then you'll have these little black seeds, and they'll be dry. You'll know if they're dry, and they're ready.
If they're immature, they're going to be more of a green or white color. It's a delicate balance to know, because if you wait too long, most of your seeds have fallen on the ground, and that's and the same thing goes with onion seeds and or shallot seeds. On that. So you want to wait. Now is the time in most of the northern areas where if you have leeks that you have let overwinter, biennial, so is onions, so is shallots, they will flower the second year unless they are extremely stressed the first year, which I wouldn't recommend saving seeds from an extremely stressed plant because the maturity may not be there, the genetics may not be there to the quality that a healthy plant that naturally goes to seed its second year would provide you. And that flower will contain about 500 seeds, more seeds than you know what to do with. However, by saving the seeds on anything that you grow, it does make a difference by growing them again the following year in your ecosystem. We see this a lot of times very visually with sunflowers. Sunflowers fall to the ground last year. They come up naturally this year, and they are 3 or 4 or 5 times larger with more blooms.
And they're sturdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
About twice as big as a broom handle, mm-hmm. about 3 inches in diameter, compared to one that you would grow from a seed this year. So the same thing holds true with tomatoes and onions and leeks, that keeping that, you know, growing in that same area, that same climate year after year.
Acclimated.
The acclimation of it, yes. Okay, next question here. Why would I be getting white spots or patches on my ripening raspberries? I've never seen this before. Any advice?
Sure. So this is a physiological problem. It's a disorder called sun scald. It's because of the extreme hot temperatures and high sun exposure. So watering regularly will help the disorder, especially in the extreme hot temperatures. You would just want to benefit your plants the most, water in the evening or in the morning.
But if you have a large area of berries of any size, in this instance, shade cloth is an investment in which you can have. In some of these times now, portions of the country where we're getting temperatures in the triple digits for long periods at a time, we can put shade cloth up, make a frame. Shade cloth comes in percentiles of darkness, from 10% all the way up to like 50, 70% darkness. You would have to figure out what would be best. But just reducing the amount of sun going on the plant. We see this a lot with pepper plants. You get a pepper, a big, large pepper, and it's all brown and mushy on one side because it was exposed to sunlight too much and has gotten sunburned. Same thing going on with these raspberries. They're getting too much sun. So if we're looking at a point where we might need to invest in shade cloth in order to slow down or prevent this problem from happening, maybe a wise choice to move forward with such a thing.
Right. So here's our next question. All right. Is I harvested my fall garlic. After hanging it, it didn't dry and now it's soft and mushy. Any recommendations?
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not good. So unfortunately, it sounds like white rot. And white rot is a disease that lives in the soil, and it causes issue for a lot of what's called the allium family plants, which includes leeks and onions. So what happens is that this lives in your soil, and you definitely have to do some research on how to eradicate it. But it sounds like that's white rot. It typically happens where you harvest the root, and then after a while, it just is mushy.
So don't plant those family of plants in the same area if you can. You need to plant it somewhere very, very different. If not, create a raised bed and bring in specific soil to grow those particular types of vegetables to eliminate the problem. All right, let's see here. I fed my garden some granular 10-10-10 on my tomatoes, peppers, and other plants. My tomatoes are yellowing at the lower leaves, and some of the cucumber leaves are dying off. Is it the fertilizer that I just recently applied?
No. So unless you aggressively applied that fertilizer and aggressively watered it, it is not the fertilizer.
It could be if it was liquid.
If it was liquid, it could be.
If it was a liquid inorganic,
right,
it could be the problem. But this is a granular. You're not breaking it down that quick.
No. So it sounds like the tomatoes are early blight, and early blight lives in your soil. So there are a few things that you can do. You can, one, you can trim off the lower 6 to 8 inches of the tomato plant leaves.
And any infected plants.
And any infected leaves.
Up to 25% of the total capacity of the plant.
Right. You can take yellow whole grain cornmeal and sprinkle that around the base of the plant. This has to be yellow whole grain. And then you can also mulch around those plants, and that will help that early blight. As far as the cucumbers, cucumbers sometimes just have dead-looking leaves. It happens. The leaves die back because they're putting their energy to the plant.
Typically, a lot of plants, the lower sets of leaves will die off as the plant matures. You'll see this on zucchini. Cucumbers are very prevalent with this. And again, cucumbers, I mean, we're early in the growing cycle. They're not a 4 or 5 month long plant. They're a very short season plant when you look at the duration of what they're capable of doing. So it's as long as it's just dying off and it's not a chemical drift, a disease, or some type of that problem, if it's just natural dying off, it's not really a problem. It's just part of how the plant operates. So that was cucumbers and tomatoes there. My bush beans and pole bean leaves are very shriveled and twisted looking. I have kept them watered, and we've had quite a bit of rain too. Any suggestions what this could be?
It's just too much water, essentially. So if you
too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing. So if you maybe it's dried out a little bit now, I would definitely halt the, if you have irrigation to the plants for a little bit, like you'll dig down in the soil and feel how moist it is. Let it kind of dry out a little bit. They'll bounce back. It'll be fine.
It's going to take a little longer for them to return to natural size and shape and everything, but it's not like it's not, they're not going to die. If you back the water off, it should be a little better on them for that. And just part of the deal. So that's something, you know, too much water, and this can happen on other plants too, too much water. You want your soil to be the consistency of a damp sponge, not a sopping bog. And when you start seeing that, that's where, if you're getting a lot of precipitation, you want to shut that irrigation down so it's not watering the plants while it's raining and you get this whole, you know, slobby muck.
Yeah.
And it really can hurt the plants in not a good way.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.